This reading's taken from John chapter 1, verses 40 to 49, page 1064 of the Church Bible. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel."
When I was a child in the 50s, and I can already see some of you beginning to do the maths, my parents sent me and my brothers to a nearby convent school. We weren't Catholic, but it was the best school in the area. And there was much about the school that was really good. And generally, I was very happy. However, the nuns weren't all as smiley as the ones in this picture. Some of the nuns did not like children at all and should probably never have been teachers. My brothers remember being told that we would all burn in hell because we weren't Catholics. Not the most pastoral thing to say to five-year-olds. Luckily, they didn't say it in my hearing because I have a very vivid imagination and I would probably have gone home with nightmares. And the nuns also told us that God saw everything. He would notice the instant we did anything wrong. The only way to please him was to be as good as possible. And the headmistress took it upon herself to do God's work for him. She was always on the lookout for trouble. Regular offenders would be caned. Quite how this was meant to bring them closer to God, I have no idea. Nor was I exempt. I was once called into her office and whacked over the fingers for something I hadn't done. Despite all of this, I had my first deep experience of God in the school chapel. It was the most peaceful place. As I sat there in the silence, I can only say that I felt warm from inside. I knew instinctively that God loved me. I felt very safe with him. Maybe those nuns had got it wrong after all. God did love me, and he accepted me. Well, I drifted away from regular churchy stuff during my teenage years, but clearly God still had his eye on me in the best possible way. After my A-levels, I was drawn towards a work scheme in the Scottish Highlands, run by Scripture Union. I had no idea who they were, and that our programme included an evening session thinking about Christianity. For the first time ever, or so it seemed to me, I was introduced to Jesus as a real person, not a remote deity, but God in human form. I was overwhelmed that God could love me so much that he gave his son to die for me. And the other thing that amazed me was the way the group worshipped. It was so intimate, so intense. I had never heard anyone sing music that was essentially a love song to God. A love song to God who loves us back in return. And as they prayed and sang, there was a beauty and a radiance about them which was incredibly attractive. God's presence in them, shining through them to me. A few days later, I made the choice to follow Jesus. I had no idea where this might lead me, but one thing was certain, my life was never the same again. I used to know about God, but now I knew him. And the only way I can think to explain it is the difference between reading someone's details on an online dating website versus the reality of being in an actual relationship with someone. And this is what being a Christian is about. We're following a person, the living Jesus. It's not about what denomination we belong to, or what church we go to, or even how good we are. It's about our getting to know Jesus, spending time in his company, so that through knowing him, we get to know God. And amazingly, as we spend time with Jesus, we become more and more like him. And the word disciple means follower, not in the sense of, I followed Jane to church today. Rather, I want to be like Jane in every way. I want to learn everything she knows. I want to copy everything she does until I become just like her. And disciples in Jesus' day wanted to be just like their rabbis. They lived with them. They went everywhere with them. Have you ever wondered why everywhere Jesus went, the 12 went with him? It was because he was their rabbi. He lived with them. They went everywhere with him. They wanted to copy every action, every mannerism, every characteristic. They wanted to become just like them. They wouldn't leave their teacher alone day or night. Apparently, they'd even follow them to the bathroom in case they missed out on any words of wisdom they might share. I mean, I'm just grateful that we don't do that. And I'm sure Simon is supremely grateful that we don't do that. But this was what Jesus meant when he said, follow me. He wasn't talking about some sort of distance learning course on theology, but come with me wherever I go and learn from me. One of my daughter's friends is passionate about Sunderland Football Club, and her dad has 2 season tickets, and she and her brothers take turns to go to matches with him. And they follow their team all over the country. They never miss a match if they can help it. And she laughed when I asked her if I could use this as an illustration in my sermon. She said, it's a really good display of loyalty as Sunderland are being extra terrible this season. Her words, not mine. It would take something seismic to make this Macam switch allegiance to another club. And this is the kind of loyalty and passion that disciples had for their rabbis. You didn't attach yourself to someone lightly, or detach yourself for that matter. Now, John the Baptist had told his followers that someone was coming after him who was greater than him, who was the Son of God. And when John specifically pointed Jesus out, Andrew immediately left him to follow Jesus. And it didn't take long for Andrew to realize that John was right. Jesus wasn't like any other rabbi. He was the one that God had promised, the savior Israel was waiting for. No wonder Andrew was so excited. The first thing he did was tell his brother Simon, "We've found the Messiah." And he brought Simon to Jesus. But our reading is not just about how some ordinary men from Galilee first saw Jesus clearly. It also reveals how clearly Jesus saw them, not simply from a human point of view, but also a heavenly one. And I suspect the minute Jesus saw Andrew coming towards him with Peter, he was asking God, "What are you showing me? Who is this man? How do you see him?" Jesus depended on God to teach him, just as his disciples would learn to depend on Jesus. And of course, God sees us not just as we are, but he sees who we can become. He sees our potential. What Jesus said to Peter is something we sometimes call a word of knowledge. It was an insight into Peter's life that only God could have told Jesus. You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which is Peter. Now, the cynical among you might be thinking Jesus already knew he was Simon because Andrew could have told Jesus that he had a brother called Simon. Well, that's fair enough. But only God could reveal to Jesus who Simon would become. Peter, the rock, because that's what Cephas and Peter means. Peter, the rock, the steady, stable one whom Jesus could trust to lead the church after he was gone, which couldn't be more different to what Peter was like now. And the next day, Jesus called Philip to follow him. And like Andrew, after spending time in Jesus' company, Philip's eyes were also opened, and he too could see who Jesus was. And he also shared the news with someone else, Nathanael. We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And this made me wonder, why did Philip use different words to Andrew when describing Jesus? And I spotted something that I just never thought of before, which is what makes studying the Bible so exciting, because God's always giving us new treasures, and I got a new treasure this week and I'm going to share it with you, which is very generous of me. It hit me that this passage is all about connection. We recently celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary with friends and family. Some of our guests had known us all our lives, some from school, some from uni, some from work, some from church, some from various leisure activities. And we wondered how these different groups would work. Would they mix? Would they chat to each other? Some people were coming on their own, and we knew that they would know nobody else. We were especially concerned to introduce them to someone they might get on with whom they had something in common, with whom they could connect. And we introduced two people whose commonality, and I think that's a real word because it didn't come up in red when I typed it in, their commonality was that they both played the organ. And soon they were chatting like old friends, and the one who'd come on her own was swiftly made to feel part of the wider group. Success. Well, Andrew and Philip used the same tactic. Andrew knew his brother well. Impulsive Peter, always getting into scrapes, always needing rescuing. The one who stopped looking at Jesus and started sinking beneath the waves, shouting, Lord, save me. We all need a saviour, but maybe Andrew reckoned Peter needed a saviour more than most. So this was how Andrew introduced him to Jesus. Moreover, Jesus' response was so encouraging. By the grace of God, messed up Peter would become reliable and strong, able to rescue others when they got into a mess, so that the rescued one would end up becoming a rescuer. Clearly, Nathanael was a devout Jew. So when Philip invited him to come and meet Jesus, he focused on the detail that would matter to Nathanael. We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote. Nathanael was less impressed by Jesus coming from Nazareth, but he was interested enough to meet Jesus for himself. And he discovered that God was just as interested in connecting with him, because God gave Jesus another word of knowledge about Nathanael. Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. And we don't know why this chimed with Nathanael in the way that it did, but clearly Jesus' words meant a great deal to him. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Here's the thing. It's not just about our knowing God. It's about our knowing that God knows us in return and that he cares for us. This is the relationship that God desires, and it's the connection that we all need. And this was what I discovered that day in Scotland, that God knew me. He knew the real me, warts and all, and yet he still loved me and he valued me. He valued me enough to send his son to die for me. And this truth absolutely changed my life. And it can change yours. And it changed Nathanael. Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. But this was just the beginning of Nathanael's journey, because it isn't just about coming to Jesus. It's about continuing with him and going deeper and deeper and deeper. And Jesus' reply to Nathanael was astonishing. He reminded Nathanael of a story in the Old Testament, which Nathanael would have known from his childhood, about a man called Jacob who'd wronged his brother and who'd run away into the far desert. And while Jacob was asleep, he had a dream. He saw a ladder stretching up from earth into heaven with angels on it, ascending and descending between the two. And Jacob realized that even in that isolated place, God was there. The ladder represented the connection between heaven and earth. And I wonder if it was that connection with God that Nathanael was so hungry for. And that was what Jesus meant when he said, I saw you when you were under the fig tree. Nathanael, I think, maybe felt that he was invisible, that nobody noticed him, nobody saw him, nobody saw who he really was, what his real hunger was for. And Jesus, by saying, I saw you under the fig tree, was his way of saying, not just I saw you, and Jesus was speaking spiritually, he hadn't actually been by the fig tree, but God gave him this picture of Nathanael under the fig tree. It's his way of saying, God sees you, he knows you, he knows where you are, even if you feel invisible to the rest of the world. And we all have times in our life when we feel that nobody actually notices us, or if they do, they just perhaps see the persona that we share, because we all go around saying, oh, I'm fine, everything's absolutely fine, when inside we may be in a very different place. And actually, maybe we're just longing for someone to say, yeah, but how are you really? What's really going on? You know, as I look at you, I sense that something's not quite right. That's when true connection happens. And I've noticed that if ever I say that to someone, they instantly tell me what's going on. It's as if they're desperate for connection, but they don't want to ask. Well, God is desperate to connect with us. And he says to us, I can see you. I can see you. You know, we don't all have fig trees in our garden, but he sees you when you're at work. He sees you when you're at home. It's all about connection. Jesus' primary desire is not so much that we connect with him, although he's thrilled when we do, but that through him we connect with his Father God. That was all Jesus wanted. He wanted us to connect with God. I was in Scotland a couple of weeks ago, and I went to see the new Forth Road Bridge. It's absolutely spectacular. But I can think of a still more amazing bridge. Jesus. He is the bridge between heaven and earth. He's the bridge that connects us to God. That's why the only way to God is through Jesus. Only Jesus has come from heaven. One day we'll be in heaven with him. But Jesus is the bridge. He's the only one who can introduce us to his heavenly Father. And this picture that he gave to Nathanael of An open heaven and a ladder between heaven and earth was his way of saying, if you stay with me, if you hang around with me, you'll see signs of God at work on earth. The connection with heaven is really close, but we just can't always see it. But Jesus said, stick with me and you'll see amazing things happen. You'll see God breaking through, his kingdom breaking through, and you'll realize that he's not so far away after all. I don't know where you are today. I don't know how closely connected you feel at all. You may not feel connected at all to God. If you're in the not connected at all, please believe me when I say God really, really, really wants to connect with you. He's always looking for you. He's always watching you, not in a sort of the nun's way of the minute I see you doing anything, I'm going to whack you over the hand. But I love you. I just want to bring restoration into your life. I want you to know me. I want you to know how much I love you. I want us to grow together. That's what God says. I want you to connect with me so that you can grow into the person that you're meant to be. And just as Jesus gave Peter a new name, I think he wants to give each of us new names. We've all got something in us that only Jesus can bring out and change. Maybe you're on your journey, but you've kind of slowed up a bit, and you were hearts on fire at the beginning, but you're kind of just drifting a bit at the moment. And Jesus says, just remember how it was in the beginning. Just remember that moment when we first connected. And I haven't changed. And deep down, you haven't changed. And we just need to spend a bit more time in each other's company. And you'll rediscover the fire that you've lost. Yeah, there are so many ways that we can connect with Jesus. It actually doesn't matter for you whether it's through worship, which it was for me, whether it's through reading your Bible or through praying or being prayed for, but the only important thing is that we connect because our lives depend on it. Amen.